We're reading for 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bert, and good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. It's really so good to be back with you again after our break, and it's even better to again have this opportunity to delve into God's word together and to listen to what he wants to tell us here today. And it's already quite obvious, isn't it, that this passage that Bert's just read to us from 1 John chapter 4 is a passage that is all about love. In fact, these 15 verses mention that word no less than 27 times. But you may also have noticed that the ultimate purpose of this passage is to urge us, you and me, to be people of love. John begins in verse 7 saying, "Dear friends, let us love one another." And he concludes in verse 21 saying, "Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." But this is not what we're going to be thinking about today. In fact, I'm hoping to come back to this same passage next Sunday morning. And at that time, we're going to focus on that instruction, on that command to love others. But this week, I want to do something else. This week, I want us to put all our focus on the essential foundation upon which this command is built. And that foundation, and you may have picked up on this already, that foundation is the love of God for us. This week, we want to pause to really think and to meditate upon and to absolutely glory in the love that the Lord has for his chosen people. This week, we want to center all of our attention on that most splendid truth, that God loves you. As we begin to do that, I want to take a moment to reflect on what that means. What's it actually mean to say that the Lord loves us? Well, my friends, it means that aside from all the other things that we know about him, that undergirding it all is the fact that he has a positive, caring, and compassionate attitude toward the people who he has made. Even though he is the almighty creator, and we are just small, frail, and defiant creatures, he yet has the deepest and most unshakable affection and fondness for every single one of us. Whatever happens, we can truly know that the Lord, he's for us and he's not against us. This love the Lord has for you and for me is not selfish. It is not superficial. It is not conditional. It is not changeable. No, his love for us is patient and kind and tender-hearted. It is generous and unreserved. It is sympathetic and merciful. It is constant and reliable. It is sacrificial and it is forgiving. This, my friends, is the love of God. It's not just a nice feeling or emotion. His love isn't based upon us being attractive or worthy in any way. Nor is it dependent on us being able to repay him. No, the Lord's love, it is different to any kind of love that you will ever find in this world. It is a true and a perfect and a wise love in which he gives of himself abundantly, unconditionally, and constantly for our benefit and for our blessing. It's a love which compels him to do all things for our ultimate good. But yet there are people who doubt or even deny the reality of this. And I think that generally they fall into one of two categories. First of all, there are those who doubt or deny God's love because of suffering. They say the existence of trouble and hardship, pain and sickness, misery and tragedy prove that there simply cannot be a good and compassionate God. They say if he truly is who he says he is, then he must take all the problems and all the suffering away. Some claim this on a global level. For example, in 2015, well-known English actor, comedian and writer Stephen Fry was asked in an interview what he would say if he came face to face with God. He replied, and I quote, "How dare you create a world where there is such misery that's not our fault? It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain?" End of quote. Stephen Fry and those who are like him believe that if there is a God, well then the misery in this world is not our fault, but it's obviously his. And that he must intend it to be this way. And that he actually relishes our pain. And that he can't possibly have any purpose in it, and that he is obliged, according to our wisdom, to bring all the suffering to an immediate end. And because he hasn't, Stephen Fry and those like him would say that he could only be an unloving and, in fact, a hateful God. There are others also who make this claim on a much more personal level. They look at their own lives and the terrible troubles that they've experienced, concluding that if there is a God, then he couldn't possibly love them. And you know, even as Christians, we can feel that way. And maybe you have. Maybe you have in the past. Maybe you even feel that way right now. You've experienced tragedy in your family. You're battling mental or physical illness. You have an overwhelming problem that never ends. And we can sincerely wonder, if God is supposed to love me, then why is he letting these things happen? And why doesn't he fix it? Why doesn't he take my pain away? This is a real and an important issue, for we know the Lord is almighty in all things, are under his control, and so it can be really hard for us to understand why, if he loves us, he lets us suffer like we do. But as I said, there's two reasons why people doubt or deny God's love. So while the first is suffering, the second of those reasons is sin. You see, we may be convinced that the Lord is loving in a general sense, but yet we can look at ourselves and we could wonder, but how could he possibly love me? For when we look at ourselves, we see so many offences and so many faults and so many failures. We seem to just let the Lord down over and over and over again, doing the very things we know we shouldn't, feeling so far away from what we know a Christian is supposed to be. Sometimes we thought that we were doing well, but now it's all fallen in a heap. Sometimes we feel like we've never truly been the person God calls us to be. Sometimes we feel like we have just stretched his mercy too far and he simply cannot forgive us anymore. Friends, we can look at others and we can see how God must love them, but when we look at ourselves, we think there's just no way he could love me. For I must be such a disappointment to him, and surely I have failed him just too many times. Have you been there? Have you ever doubted or denied the Lord's love for a wretch like you? If you have, then you're not alone. Because from our perspective, it just could not be. Surely we've gone too far, fallen too often, exceeded the limits of his grace. But my friends, that is precisely why we need to look at things not from our own limited perspective, but we need to look at it from the Lord's perspective. We may well think that our suffering and sin can only mean that he has no love left for us. But that's exactly why we need to hear what the Lord himself reveals, what he reveals about his own nature, what he reveals about who he truly is and how he really feels about us and how what he really does for us. And that's exactly what we find here in our passage in 1 John chapter 4. Because my friends, here in these verses, God reveals a variety of elements of his glorious love. And there are four that I want to pick out today. And the first of those, my friends, is that love is absolutely fundamental to God's character. We see that already in the first verse, where in urging us to love one another, John says, "For love comes from God." You see, there's actually no true and perfect love in this fallen world. There may be simplistic and artificial love, selfish and narcissistic love, lustful and sexual love, temporary and conditional love. But to find authentic love, we actually need to look beyond this world to the one who made it. We have to look to the Lord. And that's because, as John writes in verse 8, God is love. And he says it again in verse 16, God is love. That means that the Lord doesn't just do loving things, but it means that love is absolutely central to his very being, to his very nature. Love is who he is. And as a result, his affection for us will never depend on our own worthiness. And his affection for us will never, ever be exhausted. And furthermore, we can know that everything that he does in this world and everything that he does in our lives, even when we can't see it for ourselves, even when it looks like the very opposite in our eyes, it is all ultimately motivated by his love. If we want to truly know the Lord and understand his work in us, then we need to believe and trust that love is at the very core of his being. It's absolutely fundamental to his character. But that then leads us to the second essential element of God's love that we find in this passage, and that is that he has demonstrated his love to us so clearly in the cross of Jesus Christ. We sometimes think that love is just a nice feeling, but biblical love, my friends, is so much more. Biblical love is a decision to act sacrificially for the benefit of others. And isn't that precisely what the Lord has done? Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You see, my friends, we may sometimes forget, but we once had an almighty problem, for we were dead. We were dead in transgression and sin. We were spiritually dead, completely cut off from the Lord, with a futile existence. We were hurtling toward physical death, which not one of us can avoid. But that would also lead us only to eternal death, as we receive the never-ending punishment that we so rightly deserved. But even though we chose death, my friends, God's deepest desire has always been to give us life. And it's for that reason that he gave us the one thing that he treasured more than anything else, his one and only Son, his perfect, precious, beloved Son, who he sent into our world. But more than that, verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus did not come here just to be a wise teacher, just to be a miracle worker, just to be a great example for us to follow. Oh no, Jesus came because he was coming to lay down his life, to lay down his life as he took upon himself the judgment that should have been ours. He left that throne in heaven and he humbled himself here on this earth in order to suffer and in order to die. And as he did, he became our perfect sacrifice of atonement. For in the agony of his God-forsaken crucifixion, he took our pain. He paid our debt. He purchased our forgiveness and he set us free. Verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. And in this breathtaking act, we see his love so amazingly displayed. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. This passage shows us not only that God is love, but that he has demonstrated his love so clearly and so abundantly in the cross of Jesus Christ. But friends, let's never think that that's where it ends. For God's love did not finish at Calvary. And so this passage also reminds us that he continues to care for us now, every single day. And how do we know that? We know it because the Lord is near, because the Lord is with us, because the Lord is in fact in us. Listen to verse 12. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. verse 16, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. For whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Our God, the very one who is the epitome of love, who demonstrated his loving character at the cross, well, he's the one who now is continuously present with us and in us and through us. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and he continues to work all things for our good. Oh, friends, I truly hope that that is a truth that you know and have experienced in your life. We are not alone in this world. We walk every single day with the Lord by our side, and he cares for us, and he provides for us, and he sustains us, and he blesses us. Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That still leaves that nagging question of suffering, doesn't it? If this is true, then why is life so tough? And there are no simple answers. But my friends, let me at least say this. My dear brother, sister in Christ, please remember that we can only ever see a very small part of the picture. We may well wonder, why do we have this grief, this sickness, this tension, this struggle? And as far as we're concerned, the only loving thing God could do is to take our burden away. But I put it to you this morning. What if the Lord has a higher purpose? What if it's precisely that burden which he is using to draw you closer to himself, to grow your faith and intensify your prayers, to enhance your witness to the lost, to show the true depth of his grace and his mercy and his love? My friend, what if it is precisely that burden which he is using for the salvation of souls? Ah, friends, it can be so hard to see the good when we're in the depths of despair. But yet I want to urge you this morning to keep trusting your Father in heaven, knowing that he is truly wise, and he is truly faithful, and he is truly compassionate. I urge you to believe that even in the deepest valley and in your darkest hour, the light of God's love is shining brightest, and he will never, ever let you go. But that brings us to the fourth and the final element of God's love that we can find in this passage. We've been reminded that God is love. We've been reminded that he has demonstrated his love clearly at the cross. We have been reminded that he continues to prove his love in our daily lives. But finally, we must also remember that his love will carry us forward from here. It will carry us to the end of our lives and into eternity. Verses 17 and 18, this is how love is made complete among us, so we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. My precious brothers and sisters, there is a day coming for each and every one of us when we will breathe our last and we will leave this earth. There is a day coming when our Lord Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. There is a day coming when all the sin and all of the suffering will be gone. And friends, God has promised us that from that time onward, He will dwell with His people. We will see Him face to face. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and He will give us life as it was always meant to be. But yet we can't help but wonder if we're going to be all right. As we approach the end of our earthly pilgrimage, we're forced to consider what will happen to us when we stand before the Lord. And that can fill us with fear and trepidation. But that's when we must remember more than ever the amazing love of our Lord. For John reminds us that if we are His, then we can have confidence even on the day of judgment. He reminds us that we don't have to be afraid. For the thing that could be feared is punishment. But friends, if we have trusted in Jesus as our Saviour, then He has taken our punishment. He has made us righteous in God's sight. And we have absolutely nothing to fear. And that is the ultimate outworking of God's love. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand till He returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Or again from Romans chapter 8. For I am convinced, Paul writes, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So people of Riverbank, I truly hope and pray that as we've looked at these cherished verses today, that you have been reawakened and reassured of and encouraged by the wonderful, amazing, magnificent love of God. How good to be reminded that He truly is a God of love. Regardless of what some might say, He is a God of generous compassion, unconditional affection, and limitless forgiveness. He has shown us the depths of His love as He gave Jesus His own Son on that cross. He continues to demonstrate His love in our lives every day. And we can look to the future with confidence, knowing that His love will never, ever fail. I truly hope and pray that even through this message, you may have grown in your knowledge of God's love, in your trust in God's love, in your comfort from God's love. And may that be the case for each one of us, even when life is tough and even when we fail. I truly hope and pray that for each and every one of us, our hearts might be stirred and filled with joy, because we can say with utter confidence that God loves me. And there is no more splendid truth than that. Let us pray. Our dear and precious Father in heaven, thank you for your word and thank you for your love. We were the ones who turned against you, but yet you never gave up on us. You never wrote us off. You have come to us in mercy and you have saved us by paying the highest price. You opened our minds and our hearts to believe, and now you walk with us every single day. And Lord, even though it's beyond our ability to understand, we trust that you are working for our good, even in the most difficult times. Lord, please reveal your love to us again today. Father, if we have felt far from it, if we have forgotten it, Lord, we pray this morning, please refresh us. Please help us to see it once again. Father, we trust that you are working for our good, even in the most difficult times. Lord, please help us. Please help us to see that. And Lord, we pray, help us to know that we are your precious children and that nothing that we could ever do can change that. And Father, help us to face the future with confidence, knowing that your love will carry us all the way to our eternal home. Father in heaven, please hear our prayers. Please accept our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.